Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertruckin', a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things EVs and technology. My name's Eric. We have Chase here. Will's on his way. Not here yet. This is the big day, Chase.
Mm-hmm. It's here. It's finally here.
This is the day we've been waiting for how many months now?
To be honest, it's been a couple months since before August, so...
Yeah.
Really, since
we've been talking about 8.8 since probably late May, early June, somewhere around there.
Well, wasn't it? I think it was after the second quarter, was it? Or at the end of the first quarter, it was somewhere in there that they announced it. They're like, oh, we have this big event.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm not going to lie to you. Like all day, I've kind of been like a little nervous. Because it's like, man, you know, what are they going to show? What are they going to talk about? There's been a lot of teasers, right?
A lot of conspiracies,
a lot of speculation. And today they're going to reveal all of it. And at the end of this, we're going to know. And I'm excited for that. That's really exciting. And I just can't wait. We got, 17 minutes left? So,
any news you want to get out of the way before we... jump into it.
Oh, thanks a lot, Chase.
I mean, nothing happened this week. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, nothing happened, I guess, right? So something did happen. Unfortunately, let me go ahead and get this thing taken down. Unfortunately, I had another issue with my Cybertruck. So as you can see here, this is what I woke up to. I went camping on Friday night, and when I woke up at 6 a.m. to get ready, pack all my things up and get on the road to go to my son's basketball games. There's no power to the truck. The doors won't open. The app wasn't connecting. It was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I knew at that point,
right?
Yeah. So I knew at that point it was the 48 volt battery because that's what controls all that. So now I'm sitting there going, okay, I got to get it jumped. I didn't have any equipment with me to do that. I had really, really, really bad cell service. So I'm just sitting there going, what do I do? I finally was able to get a signal. I was able to call my buddy Luis, who runs a company that if you're ever in a situation to where like this, where you need a jump or you need a emergency charge, he comes out. He's got a big generator on the back of the truck. He's able to facilitate all that. Well, he wasn't able to come out, but he had somebody else come out. They jumped the truck. I was also thinking maybe the main battery died on me, and that's what then prompted the 48-volt battery to die. That wasn't the case. There was still 21% charge on my truck, so the 48-volt system failed. I don't know why. It was that alert, like you saw, it was flashing red, and it was telling me that it wouldn't let me out of park, but I can override it. And if I did, I could lose power at any moment. So that was kind of dangerous and scary because now I gotta get home.
Right.
So long story short, my truck is at service, Tesla service. They're working on it still. So this was last Saturday, 5 days later. They're still working on it. They haven't communicated with what's wrong with it, what needs to be fixed. I have no idea. So...
did you have to tow it out there or were you able to drive it back?
No. So another thing is when I got home, I had that gentleman follow me home because I asked him, you know, just in case I lose power, you're behind me. I'm sure you're not going to rear end me because you're aware of what's going on. And also if I need to get jumped again, you can jump me. So he followed me home. Super nice guy. Problem was I wasn't sure I wanted to drive it to Tesla service. So whatever, the Tesla gods were in my favor at that moment where I was able to get a service appointment for that morning at my local service center. But I messaged them and said, can you send mobile? Because I don't feel safe driving. To this moment, still never answered that question. And so I just said, forget it. I'm going to drive there. And that's what I did. I drove to service. No problems. It kept giving me alerts and telling me that the low voltage system had failed or something like to that effect, that power could be lost at any moment, things like that. And I was able to make it. They took the truck and they said they'll diagnose it and let me know what's going on. But
this is almost reminiscent of like what we saw in the early days too, of like right around the ramp up where Cyber Beasts were going off the lot and had this happen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And ironically, I went to the Rove. Shout out to Rove. I went out to the Rove event on Sunday without my truck, so that was a bummer. But there was a guy there that the same thing happened to him that morning with his Cybertruck. He actually went to like a car show, and he had his truck there on display. And then when he went to get inside of it, it wouldn't let him in. So he had to jump it and get it towed. But he towed it. He had it towed to test the service. He probably just said, I'm not driving it. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one thing after another. The scary part is I have some camping trips planned for November. I have three. I have three camping trips in November. And it's like, I just don't know if this thing's going to leave me stranded. You know? And these trips aren't close. The
I was going to say, how far away were you this one?
This one, I was a few miles from my house. So it wasn't a big deal.
Can't see that.
But these other ones, I'm going to be hours. You know, hundreds of miles away. So I don't know. Story of my life, I guess.
I was going to say, you're getting the frequent flyer miles at the service center at this point.
Oh my gosh. But, you know, maybe it's time for me to get rid of the Cybertruck. I don't know. Join you and Will and, you know, the new GM Silverado EV, the LT trim is not looking too shabby.
It's a mighty fine price point for all that you get out of this. And I think as long as you're not looking for that, like, super off-road capability, like, this actually is pretty decent.
Yeah, I'm with you as far as that rear, what would you call this? Transition from the cab to the bed. Not a big fan of that, but I mean, the specs, I love that. I love the ability to expand the bed of the truck, access to the bed of the truck from the cab, the mileage. I mean, you're talking about 408 miles, $65,000. You know, you got more towing capacity. You know, I don't know. I don't know, Chase. I'm getting
it's included included the tax credit too. So what is that?
73.
What I really like about the Silverado Odyssey is this kind of like opening, because I think that's kind of innovative for trucks. That how it would have me really excited. There's a lot of times having like a full size cab is always like the benefit I like for modern trucks now, but it comes at the risk of not having a full size bed. And I think this is like a perfect hybrid between the two.
Yeah.
It did mention that this interior shot that we're seeing, I think, is the RST. So the interior might be a little bit different.
Yeah, that's what it states there. And I you know, we were talking before we started. I'm not getting rid of my Cybertruck, so I'm teasing over here a little bit. But it is frustrating. It's frustrating that that I'm going through this still. Two weeks ago, I had the inverter and the motor inverter issue. Now I'm dealing with some type of, you know, I'm assuming it's the 48 volt battery or that system that's failed on me. But
well, initially I was assuming that having a lower VIN was a good thing, because I know before the ramp up is really when they were basically building them by hand. It was one by one, and it was a lot slower. But maybe that assumption is not quite true anymore. I mean, because I know you had a VIN in the 500s.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if it's... I don't have any idea how to make sense of it, if it's like VIN issue or it's the amount of miles or what it is.
It definitely
would have me concerned.
I actually told the service manager at my service center when we were talking, when I showed up, and he was like, what the heck is going on now? And we were talking, and I mentioned that. I said, you know, it's the funny thing is I felt like, you know, he's aware of my channel. He's aware of the podcast. And so I mentioned that we've talked about it on the podcast, where we felt like the early VIN numbers were having a lot less issues. But now it's starting to seem like after so many miles or the longevity of having the trucks, that now these issues are kind of creeping up on us. And, you know, that's unfortunate, but there's nothing I can do about it now. They'll get it fixed.
Not to mention the price reduction finally happened.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. So, yeah, so, it's official. Here, we can actually do this. We can go right here.
I
was gonna
say, I sold ours by the hair of my chinny chin chin, because otherwise I would have not gotten what we did. So basically all included.
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot you have to. Let me pull that up.
Oh, yeah, because it's email non-foundation.
Yeah, it's email only. I forgot about that. So, yeah, so for anybody that's listening or watching, and if you're not aware, Tesla is now sending out invites to reservation holders for non-foundation series Cybertrucks. So I know I have a few friends that received the emails, and one of them actually ordered his non-foundation series for his wife. He has a foundation series Cybertruck, and then he went ahead and ordered one for his wife.
Nice.
So let me pull that up real quick here.
Because when I did the math, even with the upgrades, you're basically buying brand new what we sold ours used for.
Yeah, but that, I mean, this is great, because I know, like, Hugo and chat, and, you know, one of our loyal listeners and viewers, he sent me a few messages, and I know that's something that he was waiting for the non-foundation series. So not sure if he's in chat right now saying he's waiting for that invite now. So know there's a lot of people that are waiting for that, right? They don't want to pay that premium of $20,000, and whatever you get with that, they're electing to not get any of those features or get those at a later date and just get the lower priced Cybertruck. And so it's happening now. It's happening. And even so, I wish I could pull it up. I don't have it saved. But my buddy who went ahead and ordered his for his wife, he actually sent a screenshot where it shows a estimated delivery of October, November. So it's not only ordering, but you can get it now. Yeah. So,
yeah. So maybe, because I know we were speculating, or a lot of people have been speculating about, like, lots full of Cybertrucks still that don't have the Foundation Series logo on them. And we were wondering, are these non-Foundation Series? And it sounds like that they could be. And I think the question was, we were seeing a lot of them that had the gray interior as well, but we did confirm that, okay, gray interior is the default interior.
Yes.
Which I think is kind of shitty for one reason, because people who ordered the Foundation Series had the chance to opt in to getting the non-premium interior and still pay $2,000 extra.
at the same price point. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, they just kind of screwed themselves out of 2,000 bucks.
Yeah, like my friend Dennis, who ordered, that just took delivery of a Cyberbeast I mentioned to you guys last week or 2 weeks ago. He elected for the gray interior, and as far as I know, he didn't get a price reduction. He still paid the $120,000.
Well, he still got the Foundation Series.
He got the Foundation Series. So,
where was it? I know I say that the someone did the math, and it's essentially Will's on his way. Let me see if I find it real quick. So someone actually did the math and tried to, like, price out what is the actual dollar value of the Foundation Series at this point, now that we know all this.
What's up, Will?
Yo.
I like his name.
I changed it last week too. Did you notice?
Yeah. I did.
I did notice last week. Yeah.
So, okay, we got, all right, 20 inch AT wheels, $3,500, white decor, $2,000, the all wheel interior liners, roof shade, center console, D rings, L tracks, gear locker, power share, backup gateways, $2,500 in either in a credit or not. He mentioned full self driving capability is $8,000, but honestly, people are getting the $7,000 value acknowledged still. And then he's saying about $720 for the lifetime premium connectivity. So a whopping $16,000 and $16,345. So basically, the premium for Foundation Series that we all paid was roughly about $3,655. Pay to play.
Exactly.
Which is not terrible.
It's not bad for what, like, you know, you and Will were able to, you know,
yeah,
use it as a business was, yeah, and make some money off of it.
That was my logic in the beginning, was, you know, the whole idea. It, you know, what they are including with the full, with the foundation is basically the money's there. It's covered, really.
Mm-hmm. But what I was just saying a bit ago, since we know that the white decor is now a premium like asset, right before you jumped on, all the Foundation Series trucks that opted for the gray interior and still paid the same amount just got screwed out of $2,000.
Maybe they'll send a voucher for that if people start, you know, complaining a little bit. I don't know.
I doubt it. I mean, if you can complain enough, you can just get a free Cybertruck twice over. So apparently.
Well, you know, if you play, I'm getting to the point where I'm going to start complaining about my Cybertruck.
I would bring up these stories. Because, yeah, this is ridiculous. I don't know if you... Honestly, no, here's the good question. And I actually do have a good friend who is a lemon law lawyer there in L.A. that I could get you in contact with if this does get, like, serious. Because this is, like, enough things that... I mean, at least you're not on the hook for fixing it. But still, come on. Like,
so I should be able to do something. I've always wondered, like, this is where my head goes, right? Beyond lemon law and all that. I kind of think... Whenever you have an issue like this, like my truck has been in service for a week and it was there 2 weeks ago for about a week. So, or maybe over a week. And I look at that and I go, okay, that's let's just call it 2 weeks. I shouldn't pay full price, you know, full car payment for that month. If I didn't have the truck for the whole month, you know what I mean? Like
it was a lease, I would agree with you, but
no, I know. Yeah. I know, but there's something I can do about that.
I get the sentiment.
LJ's in chat, and he mentions, because we were talking about Foundation Series, he says, I hope FSD doesn't go up after tonight. Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah,
we're
gonna find out what they
show off. Yeah.
And we've said it this whole entire summer. Like, this event is going to define FSD if it's either going to go up or stay the same.
100%.
I knew for a fact that this event, or at least leading up to the event, was going to be enough catalyst to change the prices of the used market. And we were saying it right before you got on, Will, about how now that we have the non-Foundation Series available, like, I clearly timed it perfectly because I got out when I last possibly could. Like, there's no way that I could resell now, or at least resell to the educated buyer.
Yeah, I think there would be a lot of people that are in the market for one would go, why would I buy yours?
I could buy one new for 80. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no, you timed it right. You were looking to get out, and you got out when you needed to, and, you know, hopefully you get back in at some other point. And
I know at the flip side, that's exactly it. Like, I didn't expect it to happen this fast to have it available. So I'm like, okay, I could have just got into a cheaper Cybertruck. You know, it would have actually fulfilled my need at that point.
You'll be back.
Because it would be the difference between 70 and 80. But yeah, I figure I'll be back into one eventually.
You'll be back. Because right now you have the Rivian.
The R1S,
And then you have another vehicle, right?
Just Kia, but we're actually probably going to sell that. Just have the Rivian. Because it kind of fits everybody, really.
Sell the Kia, just have the Rivian, wait a couple months, and then get back in a Cybertruck.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope. Okay, we just hit.
Oh, shit.
Good to do.
Are we live? Okay, we're live now. Okay, cool.
Okay, so it takes us straight to...
Let's see what it does. Unless we have to go over to X.
Mm-hmm. It's starting.
Oh, yeah, we're starting now.
Differ materially from those projected.
I'll save it.
More details can be found in the written materials.
Tell me if this is too loud.
Oh, good, a legal statement. Oh, my God. Way to kill the buzz.
If at any point this is too loud, let me know, chat.
Ladies and gentlemen, here, everywhere, online, around the world, outer space, I'm Franz. And on behalf of everybody at Tesla, welcome to We Robot. Just want to thank Warner Brothers for hosting us here. As you know, this is the birthplace of many epic films, many of them depicting a vision of the future. We're here tonight to experience that future that is closer than you think. And who better than Elon, right, to show us that future? So it looks like Elon's on his way.
Elon, wake up!
Welcome him up here.
2.6 million.
Yeah. It's wild.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, shoot.
One of the
Look at this.
It's gotta be it.
All right. Yeah, behind the scenes, they had him near the theater, so that makes sense. Definitely just a dude. Just a guy. Okay, copy you.
Well, he's also in the astronaut, like, space.
Oh, look at that. Yay.
Ooh, look at that.
Two-door. Go wing. All right.
Big storage.
Stainless steel?
Stainless steel. There we go.
Stainless steel.
That explains a lot what I know.
And if you notice, there's no rear window windshield.
Right. Because there's no driver.
There's no driver. You don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Need it. Well, it also makes it a secure hatch in the back because you don't know what the interior looks like. That trunk might be completely available from the trunk, which would give it an insane amount of space.
It looks like a super futuristic Model 3, right?
Notice, okay, so this for sure was the vehicle that we saw that was covered up, because notice the wheels are different sizes.
Mm.
Yeah.
The late cycles.
Nice.
So cool.
Wow.
That light is pretty cool, though.
That is pretty cool.
I wonder if that's part of... Maybe part for the cameras too? See stuff? Oh, it's got a light show on the front of it. Hell yeah.
I'm actually surprised that they showed the vehicle before Elon even spoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Start strong.
Welcome. Welcome to the Wii Robot Party. We have quite a show for you tonight. I think you're going to like it. As you can see, I just arrived in the Robotaxi, the Cybercab.
Cybercab.
And there's 20 more where that came from.
Ooh.
There's a lot of people out there.
So they've been traveling. They're all, there's no people in them, as you can see. The car's just going by with no people.
What?
Okay.
We have 50 fully autonomous cars here tonight.
Wow. 50.
50.
So you'll see Model Ys and the Cyber Cab, all driverless.
Cybercab.
You'll be able to ride in the
Cybercab.
No steering wheel or pedals.
The bend in that metal is going to be really difficult to do.
So I hope this goes well.
Did you guys hear that? No steering wheel, no pedals.
No steering wheel, no pedals.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be one machine that like clamps it to get that look.
You see a lot of sci-fi movies where the future is dark and dismal, where it's not a future you want to be in. So, like, I love Blade Runner, but I don't know if we want that future. I think we want that that duster he's wearing, but not the bleak apocalypse. We want to have a fun, exciting future that, if you could look in a crystal ball and see the future, you'd be like, yes, I wish I could be there now. That's what we want. So,
it costs too much, not safe, not sustainable.
So when we think about transport today, there's a lot of kind of pain that we take for granted that we think is normal. Like having to drive around LA in like 3 hours of traffic. Yeah, and people that live in LA, I mean, you know, try to get from
Pasadena. You're not driving around anywhere.
You know, El Segundo during rush hour is like, you can fly to, you know, another city faster than you can get to cross town LA. So
and you have to drive the whole way. Unless you're in a Tesla, of course. Our Tesla already does quite well at this, you know, supervised self-driving. So supervised full self-driving is actually working quite well. I'm sure there's people in the crowd. You're using that. Yeah?
FSD is going to be in the past. We're on to the future now.
Yeah, so baby.
We'll move from supervised full self-driving to unsupervised full self-driving, where the car, you could fall asleep and wake up at your destination. So, but there's also a challenge for a lot of people that cars cost too much. I mean, when you factor in everything that goes into a car and the car insurance and the car payments and the storage of the car, it's very expensive. So with
you sell them, bro.
How many hours a week are cars used? Your average passenger car is only used about 10 hours a week out of 168 hours. So the vast majority of the time, cars are just doing nothing. But if they're autonomous, they could be used, I don't know, 5 times more, maybe 10 times more. So you could actually, for the same car, would have 5 times as much value, maybe 10 times as much value. There's 168 hours in the week. And like I said, only 10 of them are used for driving. So and then a bunch of those hours are looking for a parking spot, which is, you know, can be pretty annoying at times. So we want, with autonomy, you get your time back. This is a very big deal. So it's not just a save, like it'll save lives, like a lot of lives, and prevent injuries. I think we'll see autonomous cars become 10 times safer than a human. I mean, if you think of times past where there used to be an elevator operator in every elevator, but once in a while they get, you know, they get tired and they accidentally shear somebody in half, you know. So
now I'm not sure that's ever happened, but okay.
And you don't even think about
that
it.
That one guy that one time.
And that one time. Before. I heard about it.
And if you did see an elevator operator with a big relay switch, you'd be like, that's weird. Now that's how cars will be. And it's not just the lives saved in injuries, but if you look at think about the cumulative time that people spend in a car and the time that they will get back that they can now spend, well, I guess on their phones or watching a movie or doing work or whatever you want to do. You can think of the car in an autonomous world as being like just a little lounge. You're just sitting in a comfortable little lounge. And you can do whatever you want while you're in this comfortable little lounge. And when you get out, you will be at your destination. So,
like I've been saying, it's the in-car awesome. Experience that'll define the next 20 years. Or really just after, once they reach autonomy and scale.
I think the cost of autonomous transport will be so low that you can think of it like individualized mass transit. The average cost of a bus per mile for a city, not the ticket price because that is subsidized, but the average price is about $1 a mile. Whereas the cost of cybercab, probably over time, the operating cost is probably going to be around $0.20 a mile.
Huge trunk.
Yeah.
And price, including taxes and everything else, probably ends up being
it's a bigger screen too.
A mile.
Mm-hmm.
Way bigger than the Model Y or even the Cybertruck.
We'll be able to buy one.
Hey, there you go. Ding, ding, ding. Chase got it.
Yes, exactly. We expect the cost to be below $30,000.
Two for two, baby.
There you go.
And I think there'll be Shots. An interesting business model where, like, let's say somebody is in,
all right, we're selling the Kia tomorrow.
Today, where they can actually sort of manage a fleet of cars and, like, a sort of manage, I don't know, 10, 20 cars and just sort of, you know, take care of them like a shepherd tends their flock. You have a little your flock of cars.
This is very similar to what he had talked about when he was pitching these exact same things at like Autonomous Day like years ago.
And
so it's good to hear them rehashing it but and having a vehicle to show with it.
Future. It's gonna be really something special. So yes. Good, all excellent questions.
It's a Q&A now.
We made it. Yeah, it's just the Q&A portion.
It's like you're going to ramble, then just tell us when it's going to come out.
Unsupervised FSD in Texas and California next year.
Yep. There it is.
And that's up.
He didn't say robotaxi. He said unsupervised FSD.
And then we expect to be in production with the CyberCab, which is really highly optimized for autonomous transport. I tend to be a little optimistic with time frames.
Really?
But
false.
In 2026. So.
Yeah, okay.
2026.
Yeah, that undercuts me. I was gonna say 27.
We'll make this vehicle in very high volume, and
unsupervised FSD would be the training for this.
Robotic taxi via the Model 3 and Model Y program, and Model S and X too. Your 3 and Y will achieve unsupervised full self driving
first,
with permission in wherever regulators essentially approve it in the U.S. and then to follow in outside the U.S. So and it's Cybertruck too. Yes, of course. Sorry, I don't want to forget. Yes. All our cars, basically. All cars that we make. So
his lawyers are like,
yeah.
Shut up.
All right, next slide.
Okay.
So one of the reasons why the computer can be so much better than a person is that we have millions of cars that are training on driving. So it's like, it's like living millions of lives.
We have the data.
Seeing very unusual situations that a person in their entire lifetime would not see. But
oh shit!
Hopefully.
Oh,
Jesus!
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, look at that guy.
So,
probably Florida.
with that amount of training data, it's obviously going to be much better than what a human could be, because you can't live a million lives. It's also
Jesus.
You can see in all directions simultaneously, and it doesn't get fired or text or any of those things. So it will naturally be, like you said, 10, 20, 30 times safer than a human, just for all those reasons. I want to emphasize that the solution that we have is AI and vision. So there's no
LJ's asking, will FSD go up
needed.
Now?
So the Model 3 and Model Y and S and X that we make today will be capable of full autonomy unsupervised.
Uh-huh.
And that means that our cost of producing the vehicle is low. We are going to actually overspec the computer for the CyberCab. So our AI 5 computer will be somewhat overspec'd. Because I think there's actually also an opportunity, sort of like an Amazon Web Services, where if the car is driving for 50 hours a week, there's still over 100 hours left, and it there's a potential there to have a massive amount of distributed inference compute, where if you've got, like, say, a fleet of 100 million vehicles and a kilowatt of efficient inference compute, you have 100 gigawatts of compute, which is really quite substantial. If it's there, you might as well use it. So, So that I think will make sense. So, all right. So our autonomous future is here. As I said, we've got 50 Teslas driving autonomously. We're trying to give you a sense of what cities will be like in the future. And when you get in, you'll see, like, it's really quite a wild experience to just be in a car with no steering wheel, no pedals, no controls. And it feels great. We have enough vehicles here, so everyone should be able to try it out and experience the set that we've built here. It's a very big set, so it's like really we've used sort of 20, 30 acres or something like that. It's really big, so it goes on. The ride's long.
Do you think they would limit sales like a per household
park ride? So it'll be.
I don't know. I mean, he's so cheap tonight. He mentioned being able to buy 10, 20. What do you say?
Something we're also doing is, and it's really high time we did this, is inductive charging.
There we go.
Now I'm interested.
It has no plug. It just goes over the inductive charger and charges. So, yeah.
Vacuums it up.
It's kind of how it should be.
Well, how do you do that at home?
I guess you
just plug it in yourself.
Yeah. He said it had no plug.
One of the things that is really interesting is how will this affect the cities that we live in? And when you drive around a city, or when the car drives you around a city, you'll see there's a lot of parking lots. There's parking lots everywhere, parking garages. So what would happen if you have an autonomous world is that you can now turn parking lots into parks. And we're taking the Ing lot out of parking lot.
3.1 million now.
Welcome. So there's a lot of opportunity to create. Green space in the cities that we live in.
Oh.
What is this? Is it the van?
It's a shuttle.
Holy cow.
Quite fantastic. Oh, and also...
It's like the cyber bus.
What happens if you need a vehicle that is bigger than a Model Y?
I feel like this is the one more thing.
It's an Iron Man thing. Look at this thing.
We're going to make this, and it's going to look like that.
Now, this is the van.
Going down the streets, and you see this coming forward to you. That'd be sick. So this can carry up to 20 people, and it can also transport goods. So you can configure it for goods transport within a city, or transport of up to 20 people at a time.
Oh man, he's taking on buses too.
So this is gonna
Elon, man.
Declared war
is what's gonna solve for high density. So if you want to take a sports team somewhere, or you're looking to really get the cost of
good
travel
point.
Down
LJ
to,
asks,
you know,
will these end up
miles,
in the boring tunnels?
Then you can use the. Robot.
I easily probably could.
Some people call it the robot.
Don't see not.
So yeah, you know, one of the things that we want to do, and
school buses of the future,
is we want to change the look of the roads. You know, the future should look like the future.
That's crazy.
People are gonna flip when they see this thing going on the road. This is not even a car. It's just what is that thing?
Speaking of robots,
wild.
Something we didn't mention: stainless steel.
Wait. Yeah, also stainless steel.
A fleet of Optimus.
Our cars, the batteries power.
They set it over. They had the material ready to go. They would be stupid not to reuse it.
Yeah.
The AI inference computer. It all actually applies to a humanoid robot. It's the same techniques. It's just a robot with arms and legs instead of a robot with wheels. And we've made a lot of progress with Optimus. And as you can see, we started with someone in a robot suit, sort of that. And then we've progressed dramatically year after year. So if you
what if they all start running right now, just sprinting,
motherfucker. Something that anyone could own. So you can have your own personal R2-D2 C-3PO. And I think at scale, this would cost something like, I don't know, $20,000, $30,000. Probably less than a car is my prediction long term. It'll take us a minute to get to the long term, but fundamentally at scale,
the Foundation series is going to be real expensive.
Built to buy an Optimus robot for I think probably $20,000 to $30,000 long term. So and what can it do? It'll basically do anything you want. So it can
that's so weird.
Be a teacher, babysit your kids. It can walk your dog, mow your lawn, get the groceries, just be your friend, serve drinks. Whatever you can think of.
Can you get? Just curious.
And, yeah, awesome.
Somebody will.
Aftermarket parts coming soon.
Ever of any kind.
Does he guarantee that's going to happen in one of those robotaxis?
100%. We're going to fuck an Optimus in a robotaxi.
I think everyone of the 8 billion people of Earth, I think everyone's going to want their Optimus buddy. And there's going to be some, maybe two. And then they'll be producing products and services.
I
predict, actually, provided we address risks of digital superintelligence, 80% probability of good outcome. Look on the bright side.
Okay, I would hope. More than 80%.
The cost of products and services will decline dramatically, and basically anyone will be able to have any products and services they want. It will be an age of abundance, the likes of which people have not, almost no one has envisioned. It'll be something special. So, now one of the things we wanted to show tonight was that Optimus is not a canned video. It's not walled off. The Optimus robots will walk among you.
Are they going to be serving drinks? Doing shit? That'd be sweet.
Thanks to the Optimus robots.
He's like, don't them.
We walk right up to them. And they'll serve drinks at the bar.
See?
And you'll directly... it's a wild experience just to have humanoid robots. And they're there. You're just in front of you.
How tall are they?
So... yeah, with that,
as tall as everyday Chris.
Let's party!
No party. DoorDash, no food delivery, none of that.
Mm.
Way off.
Wow.
I love you guys too. If you look at that gazebo over there, let's get the
McDonald's
party
then?
Started.
Huh. Oh, they got a chicken Big Mac coming out. Some crap. Oh. Yeah, they're probably trying to coattail it.
Oh, what's this?
The dancing robot.
Like Tron? Hell yeah. Wow.
I could dance better than them.
Yeah, this is mid.
LJ says, if you have Optimus out there and cyber cabs on the street, is it called pimping?
Yeah, right? I told my kids, I'm like, you guys are probably the last generation that has a driving age in that... You will, at 14, if you had $25,000 or whatever, you could buy a car that could take you to your friend's house or whatever because you can't drive it. And then eventually it'll be your driver's license to get a manual override capable vehicle or a manually drive vehicle. You would have to go get a driver's license for that. And that will now become so much more rigorous of testing and retesting. So, which I think is a great idea, but.
Like, it just reminds me, like, everyone's just going to get hammered because they have their own chauffeur to go everywhere. But the thing happened in Austin where, for some reason, there was, like, a regulation thing that happened in Austin where Uber and Lyft were not allowed in Austin for a little bit.
Yeah.
It was weird. And then there was
right?
the other companies came in to try to, like, fill in the void of, like, oh, because it was, like, it was a fingerprinting issue. Like, oh, this has got to be regulated. Like, you have to be fingerprinted with all these drivers. And then it was, like... it was knockoff Uber and Lyft for a little while, and it was weird, but it was also like drunk driving incidents just skyrocketed when they didn't have that availability. So we could see the opposite happen where maybe it's a thing of the past.
Well, let's talk about, you know, our initial thoughts on this. They're calling it CyberCab, right? So it's the CyberCab. I want to pull up. Since Sawyer's there, let's go ahead and just dive into his tweets. There it is right there. That's the CyberCab. I like the look of it.
Oh, yeah. Same.
I mean, it's
ambitiously looking at like stainless steel, but with swooping curves, which I really want to know how they did that.
I think it's the GigaPress. It's the pressing stuff that they
one
that
they piece.
I think that they got into casting exteriors after they were casting the inner frame.
Agreed.
So now they can now mass produce that. Because what is it? Count the panels. You've got
one,
a back
two.
Panel, door, front quarter panel. That's it. There's three panels.
Yeah.
And then that back panel will have a seam for it so that the rear hatch can open up. And that mm-hmm. looked like that was one single piece. I think that this is literally what they were facing. It's like, okay, well, battery prices aren't going to come down, or we can't achieve a price per kilowatt hour that allows a $25,000 vehicle. We're going to have to do it through manufacturing. So the Cybertruck proves that the frame casting, the way that they've been doing it, has been effective for ramping up their production. So now they can look at something like this and be like, yeah, we could stamp something like this out in a sixth of the time or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it makes more sense knowing the person I do that worked on the Cybertruck was now on this. And that makes more sense because it was the stainless steel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that they mentioned is the fact that it's going to be charging wirelessly. There's no charging plug or port.
But they didn't show it at all. That's disappointing.
They didn't.
I mean, you get the video, but it's...
Yeah.
But doesn't that go into what we speculated a few weeks or months ago about how... Or not speculated, but we were talking about how that's mm-hmm. the wave of the future is when, I think Will said, you show up to a grocery store or anywhere and you just park your vehicle, it's charging itself. Now, this maybe isn't going to be the case as far as parking, right? Because if it's just dropping you off and then it's taking off to its next customer, how's that going to work? Where is it going to charge? Is there going to be somewhere that all of these cyber cabs take off to and to go charge, or what's the range?
I would imagine that they would probably prioritize it where it's like, okay, so the vehicles, when they hit 30% battery, unless there's a ride out there for it to hail that is that could do like 10% of the battery before a charge, maybe it'll pick it up. But otherwise, I think it's got to have a threshold before, you know. And all of that is based on the infrastructure of wherever they put those little cleaning and recharging stations mm-hmm. that they're going to use. And yeah, so it's like, okay, it'll just go off, burn off 70% of the battery doing deliveries and doing whatever, and then go back and charge at whatever HQ, unless you own one, in which case it comes back to your house and you probably get an alert, get your ass out there, go clean the car and put it back into service.
Yeah. What's interesting, I'm catching more of the live stream. Optimus, like, wearing like normal shirts and wearing a cowboy hat, serving drinks.
Nice.
Which is very, very like...
See, it's weird like because Tom Cruise. That's not acceptable. We don't like
the movements. The movements actually look like surprisingly human in a way. Like, it's still robotic, but it's you have the micro movements in there enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the price tag? I mean, do you guys think that that's gonna? I mean, Cybertruck was supposed to be $40,000. I don't know about the sub $30,000 price tag. I don't know.
I think they probably took their ass kicking when it came to the Cybertruck pricing, and they're probably looking at it like, look, we can't make announcements anymore based on our hope for the battery price per kilowatt hour market to improve the way we anticipate it will, because they were expecting a gold rush going for lithium, and they didn't get it. And now they're like, okay, maybe this time we need to be like, okay, with our current manufacturing capability, we could scale between now and 2026 and be able to produce this vehicle for the price. That means if the battery price is the same today, we'll still be able to produce it.
If they could produce up to 5,000 Cybertrucks at full speed on the Gigafactory, they could easily ramp that down and have enough room to pump these out like crazy. Like, there's no sense they couldn't do it. I just want to know, just for personal reasons, like, were they making this at the Gigafactory, or were they making this off-site and then planning to make it at the Gigafactory in Texas? Or are they building, maybe this was actually what the plan for the Mexico plant was, because that could play a factor given the election.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, because I think the Mexico plant was meant for the quote-unquote $25,000, you know, Tesla. So it could have been this.
I'm trying to pull up the van here.
Did they update the website to like have anything that satisfies
check
in any way?
After hours movement on the robot price.
Okay. Yeah, it's like still $2 down, but that was like from since earlier. Yeah, it'll have a solid pre-market wake up.
Oh yeah, they had a
autonomy for all. stay up to date on full self-driving so you can put in your phone number and stuff. Mm-hmm. Experience Tesla. Well, they're not taking any reservations or anything.
The question is, maybe we should pull up that graphic if we can find it, where they teased the other vehicles that had like cloaks over it. I wonder if this is for sure that van looking thing that we saw. I would assume so, but I'm just, because of the profile of it, I start to question.
Yeah.
Let me see if I could find that image somewhere. Yeah, I found it already. Let me.
Because that's freaking like, that's the future right there. That's like straight out of like RoboCop. I love it. But are there windows? Are those sides like actually windows where you can like look forward and backward? Or are there just no windows and just out the sides?
Okay, let me go ahead and bring that up. There you go. It looks like it could be this.
It looks like it has like a little
bump right
stair
here.
Step in it, which could have been a design change that they made later on. But
then again, if you look at this image or this,
that kind of looks like
vehicle,
the RoboTaxi.
It looks the same as this one though, so it could just be just the general.
That could
placeholder.
Be the RoboTaxi and then the personal one. But that it could be, I don't know. It could be all three.
Yeah, I would assume that was the van.
Yeah, I don't think that they wanted to give away too much. So that looks like, to me, that just looks like, what is it, those Nissan larger vans that they make now? With, you know, it's like one of the few vehicles that still has like a prominent hood and front end area.
Oh, they have some Model Ys picking up people and driving them around as well.
Yeah, they have some Ys and 3s running around. So that's because what he mentioned 20 cyber cabs there, and then he said 50 vehicles.
50
so
vehicles
the other,
total.
The other 30 were probably Ys and 3s.
So I think I got that on my bingo card because I did say I thought that it was going to be both. What I didn't think there was going to be a new piece of hardware, but I did think that it would be other cars.
It's interesting though that he did mention the unsupervised FSD. Next year for Model 3 and Model Ys, and then he did correct himself and say Cybertrucks as well. No mention of X and S.
I mean,
I wonder why. I mean, do you think at some point they're just going to get away from S and X?
Are they too old in hardware?
I think that they don't have anywhere near as many drive miles as they have for Model 3 and Y. Y have been on the road. That they have got so many, they probably got like I would be willing to bet like almost a 10-to-1, but probably more miles driven that they've documented between the Model S and X and the Model 3 and Y. Model 3 and Y, just I think they have so many more drive miles to be able to train the net off of that, you know, they're just that much closer to it with 3 and Y. And that's why they can show off this platform, this Cybercab, or sorry, Cybertaxi or whatever. Cybercab, excuse me, I was already wrong. But yeah, I'm willing to bet.
Hey, there's Josh. Josh West got on the live stream. There you go. But yeah, the Optimus is still in the crowd, just kind of like playing with people, just interacting with them.
Well, I mean, if you look at this, I mean, just at these sales numbers, I mean, when you look at production of the 3 and Y compared to other vehicles, which is the S and the X, I mean, it's not even close.
No. Yeah.
No,
it's a point where they would... I think they would kind of phase them out.
That's what I'm thinking.
If I had an S or an X, I would probably sell it at this point. I know. Will, did you able to? Were you able to sell your X?
No, no. And honestly, the used market's pretty bottomed out on it. Yeah, but I mean, I still see a lot more of them on the road. But I think that that's kind of the down market because I think that that's kind of a cool thing with a lot of Teslas is that, yeah, I mean, I take a beating trying to sell a used Model X, but the people who are buying them used. Like even the AP1 models, they're still able to get a Tesla for like $30,000. And that's been the point of these vehicles for a long time because everybody's like, oh, the battery after 8 years when the warranty's gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the battery has less range than what it had 7 years ago. That doesn't mean that somebody, you know, doesn't want it to just drive to work and back. That's the market they're trying to fill also down way, way down the line.
I also don't want to discount the Optimus stuff going on right now. So someone just went up to the Optimus and like did rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, really?
And the Optimus was like, oh no. This is some pretty, if you want to pull up the broadcast, there's still some cool stuff going on.
Is it still happening?
Yeah, they're just nerding the Tesla broadcast.
Okay.
Like all the Optimus is like dancing in the crowd and then serving drinks and some cool stuff. Yeah. Like coming from my career background as an animator, like I kind of microanalyze like animation and movements and body movements because you have to recreate those movements to animate something to simulate real life. And I will say that this is like probably the most lifelike kind of robotic movement I've seen to date.
Okay,
it's pretty good. It's not like a Turing test kind of good, but it's way better than what we've seen so far.
Yeah. And I bet part of it's run by AI. Yeah. Run by Tesla or XAI.
But I do know for a fact, because they were even hiring for this at one point, where they were hiring people to go do tasks with like motion capture suits on.
Mm-hmm.
So they could build those data sets off of like movements. So they can then train their AI here.
Yep.
Oh, there we go.
It's funny, yeah. For a long time, it's like half the reason why I like Tesla so much is because it's like all this technology that's out there, this, you know, image recognition capture and everything that they've leveraged into vision only FSD. I mean, this is all stuff that's out there. It's out there right now, and they're the only ones that seem to be like we're gonna take this shit and ram the future in, you know, right in the front door, and it's just so cool. Nobody else is doing it. Like the first time I sat in a Tesla, I'm like, I've been sitting in shit boxes all my life up until this moment, because you see what the interior of a vehicle can be, that passenger experience. And that's what they said during the keynote, was kind of like, that's the future. It's the passenger experience of sitting there, being able to watch Netflix or play PlayStation 5 or do God knows what, and just enjoy your life. Just sit there and enjoy it.
100%.
I agree. It's more than a car company.
Mm-hmm.
100%. And I think they kind of solidified this. If anything, people knew that because of SpaceX and other endeavors.
Yeah.
But I feel like this kind of solidifies, like, okay, Tesla's not just a car company.
No.
This is a great thing. This is a great thing for them to take up the gauntlet again, so to speak. Like, they could, you know, it's been a long time since they've talked about FSD. It's been a long time since they really got out there and said, hey, here's what we're doing and here's how we're going to do it. And here's an example of it. And now this finally is them showing off pretty impressive stuff. Now I do want to temper the excitement, the morning after everybody wake up and, you know, get their beer goggles off. They've still got a long way to go, because this is working great on the Warner Brothers backlot. All that footage that you saw that they shot of people inside the cyber cab, like looking at their phone or touching the tech. I mean, that was all shot at Warner Brothers at some point in the past, because I recognize a lot of the spots outside the windows. I'm like, yeah, they've been shooting it. So they've been controlling a lot of it for this period of time. And that's fantastic. It makes for great marketing. It makes for great enthusiasm for the next year or two for a lot of people who are burned out on the company in many ways. But they still have to put it on the street. And next year, LA and Texas, that'll be, I think, the next real, okay, They gotta keep performing. They gotta do this because they had a good couple of years off. COVID sucked. Everything's weird. But now it's like, okay, you've been selling FSD for this long. Show people you can do it. Okay, we're gonna do it in LA and Austin or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So let's. That's one thing that Elon didn't mention, right? That unsupervised FSD is gonna be first in Texas and California.
Yep.
So that's the norm for them, right? California and Texas kind of get first dibs on everything. But that's where most of their fleet is at. They know the roads. They know the terrain. So they feel most comfortable with that.
I think most importantly, those were states that were – I mean, Texas has such a rich tech community and a lot of tech businesses there, you know, as much as L.A. or I don't know, maybe more, maybe less. I don't know. The point is – they were very aggressive with legislation, with setting up the laws, and that's what he was making the point of. Because there are some places there, like I think some of the laws can still be interpreted as no automated vehicles on the road ever, and you'll be sued out of existence if you try.
Yeah, California. Look at Waymo.
Yeah, exactly. That means they got picked up and then they got kicked out of some of these places. Yep. Versus Tesla, it's like, no, they made the laws so that people can come and make it work and follow the you know, the certification process. And California set the legislation early at being like, who's the liability? Because you can't build an economy off of things until you know who is responsible for whatever. Mm-hmm. And once California and Texas and other states looked at autonomous driving, they were like, okay, we made those decisions. Who's liable? Even though a passenger is in the car, the laws are in the books. It's been tested. It's been flexed. It's been some of them been picked apart and shot down. And now they feel like, okay, go, someone, you know, get on stage, do it. And I don't think it's any you know specific thing that it's been Texas and California.
But think of the balls as a company they have to because at the end of the day, the liability is going to fall onto Tesla.
Yeah.
If anything happens to be at fault for robotaxi, it's going to be on Tesla, and they have to be 110% sure it's not going to be at fault, even in for the craziest of situations. But
well, he mentioned you can go to sleep and wake up at your destination. So
you're assuming fault at that point, you know,
you're 100% assuming fault. Also a fun little question is when you arrive at your destination, how's it going to wake you up? Is it going to audible? Is it going to shake the seat a little bit?
It's going to shake back and forth.
Yeah. Like, what is it going to do? How's it going to wake you up?
Yeah. Something I'm looking now, I saw the clip of him getting back into the robotaxi. What is interesting is, so they did the butterfly doors that open out. But what's interesting is they're not doing the Model X version of like them folding up. So they don't actually take up parking space. So I think they're doubling down on the idea that this is going to drop you off curbside wherever you go. You're not actually going to go to a parking space, but that could be an issue if you're driving this as your own personal vehicle. Say you're going to the shopping center, that door is not going to have enough room. Granted, this could be, you know, prototype. We saw that with the Cybertruck. So maybe the consumer version of the robotaxi might have a different door opening. So, but it's just something to keep in mind. Like, that door cannot open in a normal parking space.
I will say this. I do think that that a lot of locations have established protocols with the existing rideshare companies, Uber, Lyft, and whatever other ones exist. So that a lot of business, because a lot of businesses don't want curbside drop-offs right in front with a thing that says Uber on it or Lyft on it, which is why they set up, you know, Uber and Lyft drop-off spots. And I'm willing to bet that once CyberCab's a thing, that they'll be like, okay, you need to respect the same rules as the other ones. The ride-hail pickup or whatever is over there, not here. And, you know, they'll abide by it because they want it to work as much as the location probably does.
Which, in all fairness, too, to play devil's advocate, like, if you it was your own personal robotaxi, it could then drop you off at the curbside, close the doors, and then go park itself in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Wait for you until you needed to leave your destination. So,
I think we'll have to see. I think that that's probably one or two steps into the depth of what we're going to be facing next year when if it starts doing unsupervised, those questions will come up. Okay, you drove me to the movie theater. Do I tell it go find a parking space, or do I tell it off go home and come and get me when the movie's over? Is that an option?
I was just going to say
which one to do. You know.
I would imagine it would be, I'm at the movie theater, I need you to pick me up. It's like when you're a kid and you say, hey, mom, pick me up at this time, right?
Come back at 10:30.
Exactly. So you say, hey, come back at 10:30 and go make me some money.
Yeah.
And so now it takes off and it knows, okay, at a certain time, I need to be back. And so how far did I go out and how much time do I need to come back? Man. And now it's not taking any more rides.
But think of the convenience, though. Like, that's so much more convenient than just taking up a parking space that's wasting space that someone else could use in the parking lot, and it could just be on the road, just arrive at the right time. And like, if you're a little kid, you're just like, okay, you can build in your time to like hang out with your crush and get picked up exactly when you need to go back home. Like, it does make a valid argument to what he was saying. Because he was talking about like, oh, we could just do away with parking lots at this point.
Well, so I think that that's actually – I think that, the way that we have parking spots right now is the thing that would be addressed. And it should be. We've dedicated so much space to cars that aren't there. Like yeah. any part, most parking spaces, most parking lots you go to, they spend most of their time empty as hell. So yeah. the fact that we have this much space of our lives dedicated to temporary access to a car is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But sure. you start thinking about it, it's like, but there's also places with high populations or populations that are more significant, but more dense. So a parking lot is difficult. A parking garage still requires the notion of human involvement. It you know, it has to have a staircase because I have to walk up to the third floor. It has to have enough space between the cars that I can get in and out of the car. The cars have to be lined up in certain ways to make them accessible to a human driver to get out of the garage. Versus in the future, they can just start looking at me like, all right, let's just start doing them like filing cabinets. You know, they mm-hmm. have them in New York systems where, you know, it pulls in and literally just lifts up. Next car pulls in, lifts up, and it remembers which car is in which place. And when you call for it, you know, they have to back them back out. But if you can automate systems like that, you could fit way more cars in something that isn't a lot because there's no mm-hmm. human that needs to be in there. The mm-hmm. car can handle half of it, and a structure can also handle some of it.
Mm-hmm.
100%. WanyaCom mentioned something. I know we kind of touched on it a little bit, but there was no mention of McDonald's or any other partners or Postmates or.
I think McDonald's is riding on some coattails. The
coattails for sure. I give them credit, but I wonder. Yeah, I wonder if it was total coattails.
Yes, yeah, it's starting to seem that way. Another thing that he mentioned was that how the cost of hiring a cyber cab, right? When you're looking for a ride, what that cost is going to look like. Elon, he said it, he tends to be optimistic, not only in time frames, but also with things cost. He mentioned 20 cents a mile as opposed to $1, which is kind of, I guess, where things are at now.
I think that was about the concept of cost per mile of ownership. So like you own a vehicle, it costs $30,000, $50,000, whatever, and then it's gas, upkeep, all that stuff. All of that breaks into a per mile cost versus a robotaxi where it's like if you just hail it, you can get around town for 20 cents a mile instead of owning a car.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. I'm going to pull up my Uber right now from earlier today to give you the cost per mile.
Yeah, it's
I'm curious what
this
it says.
So let me ask you guys this. What from this event, was there anything that you hit on the head, right? That going into it, you had a feeling about this and it happened. And then also, what was something that surprised you?
The van.
Van for sure surprised me. Well, not even the van. It's really like the robo van.
It's just
like more like a mini bus because it's bigger than just a passenger van. Like you can carry like 20 people in that. Like that's
I really want to see photo and video of the interior of that thing. I really want to see what the shape is, what the size, what they're proposing with it, because it was definitely a striking thing. But I mean, the fact that they didn't immediately like hop inside of the cars, I'm like, okay, you know, are they trying to keep it exclusive? Maybe we'll see them all tomorrow, who knows.
But you know,
the van definitely surprised me.
One thing that wasn't talked about at all, and I mean, it rightly so. I mean, it doesn't relate, but was the refresh Model Y. I know some people were thinking maybe possibly
that was going to get touched on. Those people.
but no, there's nothing here. I'm going to try to get to the van.
So, trip fare today. I'm going to have to do some math. Hold on.
I got to do some math. Hang back. I got this.
Hold on.
There you go. It's all right. We're looking at the van now. We want to kind of see. Want to kind of see what the interior looks like. Get a little. We can pause it as opposed to the live stream as it was happening. We just kind of let it. So right there, you can see there's four seats in the back, three. Mm-hmm. So that's seven. So that's 14. I know he mentioned up to 20.
You probably do standing room only too.
That's true. But this, I mean, is there a screen it's like back a there? Bus.
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
There's a screen in the back.
That thing looks like it's specifically designed to the cyber cab world.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all interior experience. It just looks like a rider, you know, not an own.
That could be the party bus of the future,
right?
Put an Optimus
with Optimus ahead. Just dancing yeah. it out. What's up?
Yeah, that's
no. So it'll yeah. be Optimus, like MUS will be MISS Optimus.
So including tolls, which is another Texas problem. But this is probably a good example of like Texas Uber. Uber today, I roughly drove about 20 miles. It was $33.71, which is about $1.68 per mile.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they were down to 20 cents a mile, short Uber.
Yeah. Yeah, that's changing the game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But which, if you think about it, it's all electricity, so they should be able to get it that cheap. It's really just the cost of electricity at that point.
I was going to say, but now what are we talking about as far as profitability for, you know, your return on investment? If you're buying a $30,000 vehicle, let's call it, mm-hmm. and you're getting, you know, are you getting the full 20 cents? Are you getting a portion of that? Is Tesla getting a kickback? How does that work?
I feel like it's going to be so minor because, honestly, I think so many people are kind of, are smelling the wind that's coming, mm-hmm. and they're trying to be like, okay, how can we like profit off this because of the pent up demand and the idea. But that's where I'm like, maybe there might be a cap to households of how many you can buy, mm-hmm. because otherwise how can they kind of limit that of like someone just coming up? Cause I mean, a vehicle that's 30,000, you could have Hertz come in and buy, you know, 100,000 of them and mm-hmm. then just kind of, just do their own thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if there's no margin for them, I think that's almost what they have to do. They have to limit the margin completely so that it rules out people doing that. So it only makes sense for people to buy one or two for their own home.
I mean, I'd say that as a company representing shareholders, their task isn't to balance the market of what the end buyers profitability is necessarily. True. Their task is to sell the vehicles, and if they oversell, then yay, Tesla stock goes up and other companies dilute the market to the point where it's you know, a negative, you know, you make no profit just operating them, then they'll sell a bunch of them or whatever, people won't buy them. But then I think that by that time then we'll start seeing some other alternative uses. I mean, yeah. Imagine a robotaxi being a fleet designated specifically to a company. BMW has loaner cars or whatever instead of Uber Home or whatever like that, then they just give you cyber cab credits and let you ride home and just in their vehicles that are sitting there or something. I mean, we'll need to sit with it a bit more. I think that's probably a stupid example, but
what if they only keep the margin for themselves on the robotaxis? So the margin is only available if you have a Model 3 and Model Y.
Mm.
But if it's a robotaxi, you're either buying it to use for yourself and you don't make money on it. Like, you can't just have it go make money for yourself. That's not even a feasible thing.
Yeah.
And it's only Tesla that actually makes money off them in a fleet. Because otherwise, I don't see how this ends well with a cheap robotaxi and people not trying to, like, scoop up and make a profit off of it. Because unless there's just no profit to be made and it's only beneficial for the consumer.
Well, Max is in chat, and he says maybe the 20 cents estimate by Elon was for the bus only. You know, maybe for the cyber
maybe,
cab.
Maybe,
yeah.
You know, there's a different cost or price tag. Because it is an individual experience, right? As opposed to the van, bus, whatever you want to call it. That is a shared experience. So you're paying less per mile because you're... there's more stops along the route or whatever the case may be, like a traditional city bus, as opposed to Uber or a cab, you know, where you're going to pay a higher cost because you're getting that individual experience.
So one thought that also just came to me is that, I mean, this is an example of a company that may not be interested in doing this, but like companies like Apple, you know, they have shuttles where offsite people can park offsite and then they do a courtesy van or whatever, courtesy bus from what I saw in Cupertino. And then you have other companies at Disneyland here in Anaheim where they got to park, you know, mile, half mile, 2 miles away, and they have the logistics of running a tram just for employees to get to and from their cars again.
Yeah,
and that could be a solution of, hey, we have this autonomous thing that literally just goes back and forth, picking up people in the parking lot and coming back. And we don't have to worry about a driver. We don't have to worry about, oh, there's hardly any employees clocking in right now. Why do we have Sal sitting there in the truck for 2 hours? We should, you know, let him go home or something like that. So all of those become other questions as soon as you have the combination of a vehicle that's designed to just, you know, carry people and it being autonomous. It really starts to open up some possibilities of who you could sell it to beyond just their plan of the cyber cab Uber Eats, Uber takeover.
I can actually see, now that you mentioned that, you know, maybe the van, the bus, whatever you want to call it, they implement those in at airports and like you're saying, maybe at theme parks initially. And that's kind of how, you know, they kind of sell to those companies and they're going to make some money and get it out there.
I know Musk has got his problems with California, but I mean, we've got the Olympics coming up in 4 years. And I think that if he had that solution up his sleeve ready to go, that they would be like, okay, we'll pair up with you in this. We're going to make it happen.
That's
great. Yeah, what better way than the, you know, American made car that was originally made in California, have it servicing so much of the downtown LA? Because right now the traffic situation could be a nightmare. I feel like the Olympics is gonna blow up in our face.
Well, I was just gonna say that's the concern, right? That's everybody's concern down here in Southern California, is once the Olympics comes, how's that traffic gonna look? What if, I mean, because you're right, we're years away from it. You know, hey, if I was Elon, I'd be pushing, hey, let's do a whole infrastructure where everything that goes in and out of LA is all done by my autonomous vehicles. Mm-hmm. So even people that need to commute to get to work, you're going to be using my autonomous vehicles during that time frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, think of, there, cool. And then there's other weird options. It's like, you know, employees who, you know, if it gets to a point where it's a challenge getting people to return to work in an office. What if they say, hey, we bought a bunch of these cyber cabs and we'll send one to pick you up. You don't even have to drive. It'll drive you in. And, you know, you'll be considered on the clock from the moment you get into the thing. So you can, you know, get some extra bucks out of it or something. I don't know. I mean, it's a brave new world.
You could work from inside the vehicle as well.
I will call out one thing that I don't think we talked on just yet, but the design of it kind of looks like if a Tesla Model Y or Model 3 and a Cybertruck had a baby. You know, we'll call out that Tesla hype on X kind of called it, because they did some AI generation if Model Y and Cybertruck had a baby, and it's pretty dang close of what they came up with the, you know, squared off back as well as the swooping. So the front looks like a Tesla, but you still have the stainless steel, so that's kind of nice to see.
Yeah, I really dig the looks of it.
Yeah.
Others don't. I was saying on Twitter right now, Zach from Jerry Rig Everything, he commented or posted a picture of the Cyberbus and said, personally, I think they should finish the Roadster from 7 years ago before teasing the Dorkbus 9000, but to each their own. Oh, come on, man. That doesn't look cool to you? Zach, he runs the channel Jerry Rig Everything. It's a...
Who?
Yeah, he's a... Okay, so Tesla released some official photos.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of look at these.
Interesting. Okay. They called it both the Robotaxi and the RoboVan. So, official names. I think he probably jumped the gun saying Cyber Cab.
You're right. That's kind of a nickname. It does say Robotaxi, RoboVan. You're right. So, here's the interior of the Robotaxi. So, not Cyber Cab, Robotaxi. I don't know. But here, the seats are a little different, but it looks like a Model 3 or Model Y inside.
This is straight out of Blade Runner. It's so cool.
100%. 100%. And then you notice back there says Stark. I don't know if that's...
Mm-hmm.
But here's the Robotaxi. I mean, talk about DeLorean, right? I mean...
Yeah.
Here's the interior. There you go, Will, of the...
Yeah, there we go. Seven each. So, I mean, I wonder, though, it looks like in the backs of the seats, those might be hooks that you can bring out to like hang your bags or something.
Yeah. Hang backpack. A tablet or something like that. Or a tablet.
Only one side entrance and exit, so that's interesting. In gold, I'm not sure if that's a thing, but
stainless steel bumper might be an interesting choice. Like the entire front of the front fascia up to that whole bumper cover is stainless steel.
Well, when you're talking about panels, you can see the rear quarter panel,
one panel
the door, there, two, front, three. The hood, the
I think that is
the bumper. The bumper and the fenders are different. Yeah.
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 Crazy.
The wheels are insane, though, by the way.
Hmm. Now, speaking about the wheels, I'm curious as to why they went with the larger wheel in the back. Is that an aesthetic thing, or is there some purpose behind
that?
It's
gotta be an aero thing, for sure. Because it's completely like smooth, so that's going to be maximum aero possible.
Yeah, maybe it's just part of the efficiency. Maybe it's the extra load bearing for the event that you're hauling something in that truck.
I was thinking that
you still have the cutouts for all the cameras. That's all standard. Here's the question: where's the cameras have to be hidden behind the glass of the Robo van? But still, this is wild.
Yeah.
This is cool. I can totally see people like I was playing about, you know, the idea of like a party bus. But think about like if you get together for a birthday with a group of friends and you want to go out to bar hopping or whatever the case is, you can get one of these to come pick you guys up,
100%.
Jump in there, hang out, have a good time, get to your destination, party, comes back, picks you up, takes you back home. Everyone's safe. Yep. Everyone's gets home. And there might be a mess inside the Robo van or whatever it's called, but
I forget what it's called, but there are some services even here in Austin that do exactly that. They're like basically Uber with like bigger vans and stuff. So I think that's kind of the same idea. They can easily cut into that same market.
Yeah. This was one, like I told you guys, I was nervous all day today, just thinking about, okay, what is this thing going to be about? Mm-hmm. What are they going to show? What's, you know, speculation? Like we were talking about McDonald's is tweeting stuff out, Airbnb and all these things. There's no connections.
I'm telling you, Tesla loves doing this shit. They love to just tease certain amount of information and watch people work themselves into an absolute frenzy. We all come up with all these crazy ideas for what they're going to do. I mean, if they're smart, they're writing them down because they're like, hey, these are actually really smart ideas. We should probably look into doing this shit. You know, so that, it's like, okay, yeah.
And no talk about any integration with the RoboTaxi, RoboVans, and Optimus, you know. Totally separate products. Maybe down the road there's some type of integration, but as of right now, they didn't talk about that.
Yeah. Well, it looks like it's almost like the RoboTaxi like servicing will be completely autonomous, like sans, you know, autonomous, like an Optimus. It doesn't even need an Optimus to be able to clean it out because they have the arm robot to be able to vacuum it out and kind of clean it. It's, you know, wireless charging that. Yada yada. But I think what's going unsung is honestly Optimus itself. I think Optimus on X and Twitter has been pretty cool. Like I think that's getting a lot of cool views.
It's definitely going to be really cool. I think for the people that have the money to shell out for something like that, you can really you put that to use. I want to go to that. I was kind of thinking when they were showing the vacuum, I'm kind of thinking, here it is.
Yeah.
The heck is it?
Yeah, great. And somewhere near, it was after the...
There it is.
Yeah, you get it.
I'm kind of thinking that, is there going to be like almost like service centers where the robo-taxis are going to be able to go to a certain spot, drive in, all this automation happens, cleans it up, gets it ready for the next ride, and it's charging it wirelessly as all this is happening. I think that's kind of what they're looking to do, right?
Agreed.
I think that makes sense.
People are already talking about like, okay, where are those going to go and how can I get a piece of that? Because it's like, where are they going to warehouse this kind of infrastructure? Yes. Are they going to buy it? Are they going to buy all the real estate to do this and have it happen, or are they going to need someone to lease it out to manage those robots that then will service the vehicles? Like, it is a big undertaking, if not, you know, bigger than gas stations in a way, because something's going to have to take care of these robotaxis.
Exactly. There's maintenance on it that is going to be necessary. Because, like, kids are going to get these things dirty. There's going to be spills.
People are going to spray paint them. There's going to be tons of shit.
Yeah. There's going to be all kinds of those. It happens, right?
Yeah. If anything, I would hope that being Elon, being the company that they're doing, the fact that they're like charging headfirst into autonomous driving, robo like technology and all this stuff that's going to literally kill jobs. Like, it will kill jobs. I would hope that they kind of offer the opportunity to be like, okay, we'll hire the people that lost jobs to then service those kind of same tasks that need to be done no matter what. Will that happen? Who knows? But I would hope.
Well, it was a exciting night. It took a little longer than we wanted, but you know, apparently there was some type of issue, but it was really exciting.
Yeah.
And
that was like the best Tesla event I've seen in a while. I mean, so many of them lately have just been kind of, okay, cool. Yeah, the thing that's coming that we knew was coming is coming. Exciting. Like, yeah, but that was actually here's our shit. Here's where it is. And here's a bus. Enjoy it, bitches. Mm-hmm.
I've yet to see someone put on. Nobody's put on Twitter of like actually driving in one yet. So I'm waiting for that to see. I'm sure it's going to happen soon.
Well,
yeah, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to be learning a lot more in the next hours and days. So next week's podcast should be pretty interesting.
Hell yeah.
So, all right, guys. All right.
Peace.
Later, internet.
Yeah.
See y'all.